You have to really stick to those fundamentals like it's the Bible. I mean, it's every single day you eat, sleep, and breathe, your basics. And the basics are those PCLC numbers, because to me, it's like without that, there is nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have all these other problems, but if you're not making money, you're not in business.
Hey, law firm owners, welcome to the Your Practice Mastered podcast. We're your hosts. I'm MPS.
And I'm Richard James. And Michael, today we are blessed. I've got very good friends here that have been with us from the beginning. Very first event. The last time they were on stage was 2014 when Danielle told George the night before, by the way, you got to present tomorrow. And so we are going to have a great conversation with the McCraneys about profitability. I'm excited about it. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so why don't you share something that maybe not everyone knows about you? It could be combined. It could be individual. What's something that maybe not everyone knows?
I want Todd, who was here before us, to hold my beer because he said he was from the smallest.
Oh, they need you to, yeah. There you
go. I want Todd to hold my beer because he said he was from the smallest
not
town.
Not the smallest.
Do you want to add anything to that, Danielle? Anything that anybody doesn't know about you, or you want to keep it to yourself?
He brought me in 15 years ago, and I've been doing it for 15 years.
15 years. Mm-hmm. It started with, didn't you tell me that you used to bring Madge?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a maternity leave.
Yeah, no maternity leave.
No. After she was 3 days old, and the only reason it was 3 days is because a really bad storm came in when she was born. So I had to stay home for 3 days and return to work with her.
Yeah. So you would go to run the office, you would go to court.
I would go to court.
How many miles do you drive every day?
I think I would go, one of my biggest days was I went to five different courts and drove 365 miles in one day, catching every court.
That's what life looked like.
That's what life looked like.
Right.
But here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. I want to unpack the profitability, but I have the pleasure and the opportunity to work with your sales team, both on intake and consultations every week. And they absolutely crush it. And when I say crush it, I mean they crush it. So I'm curious, for you guys, how do you continue to consistently hit your sales goals while maintaining the profitability that you do?
First of all, it's hiring a superstar staff. I don't think you can do anything without that component. And making sure that they stick to the process week after week, believe in the process.
So how do you do that? Seriously, I mean, are you able to do it when some other people are going, well, my staff are in the closing room, or my staff are in the intake room, and they hit it some of the time or whatever. How come your staff hit it?
They're well compensated, for sure.
Okay.
So that helps. We take a team approach to it, not an individual approach. And we run, like, fun contests and things. And I'm very involved with my staff. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm meeting with them daily. They do their own daily huddles and stuff. But it does mean that I sell it to them. I talk to them about it. I tell them, hey, this is going to be one of the greatest things we've ever done. And I think that really helps, too. To see that how on board and how much belief I have in it. Yeah. And then I tell them, I said, we're going to do this. And when you start sticking to it, it's going to prove itself. That makes it easy for me, really. And I believe in you guys and what you do and always have. So that made it super, I would say, just the message I had to convey was really.
You're the best student I've probably ever had. And you're all great. Don't get me wrong.
I certainly do.
But yeah.
I am a good student.
You're the best student.
I am. I actually took a profile test one time, and the top thing on it said is you're a good student.
You are.
Yeah, I am. George, I do what you tell me to do.
You do it. George, what do you think about that? Why do you think your team does as well as they do?
Well, I think people have asked me before, what do we need to do to be like y'all? And I said, the first thing you need to do is to marry Danielle. She is all about process.
Yeah.
She makes it flow. She works through it. She is also a big team leader. Now, y'all have to understand, I am basically retired. I have been basically retired for 5 years. I don't go and work in the office. I go to the office and I say, hey, and how are y'all? And what can we do for you? Do you need a new chair? Or that kind of thing. I politic and then I'm out. And I may go once a week, maybe to the offices. I might go every 2 weeks. And I might spend 2 hours just in the offices talking to people, and then I'm out. Danielle's ability to get our team to cooperate, she runs all kinds of events, she has contests with the teams, does a great job. And her background working for the state, she worked for Family and Children's Services, taught her the process and how to work through process.
But Rich, last year we invested $72,000 in education. Just education.
Education.
Leadership education.
Right.
Process education. Yep. You know, mindset. Every kind of part of the puzzle to make ourselves better leaders, business owners. That's what we do. That amount of money to me was like nothing.
Because the return on investment.
The return on investment.
So
exactly.
Where do you want to go? Sorry, I can keep asking and I'm going to override your question.
No, I think there's 25 things we could unpack that are just great opportunities right from that. But from the conversations you guys have had, what do you feel is one of the key things firms seem to struggle with when it comes to profitability?
I think Todd and Sam said it was a lot of times people don't nail down those fundamentals and they're not consistent with their fundamentals. And it's because life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. It's very understandable. It happens to all of us. It's basically taking your hand off one of those knobs and then realizing it when it's too late. So you have to constantly tell yourself, am I throwing money at a problem or am I actually coming up with a solution to the problem? You know, it's hard because it's like you said, I think one time we're spinning a lot of plates up in the air all at once or changing the tires on the car as it's going down the road. That's exactly what it feels like. But you have to really stick to those fundamentals like it's the Bible. It's every single day you eat, sleep, and breathe your basics. And the basics are those PCLC numbers because to me it's without that, there is nothing. You can have all these other problems, but if you're not making money, you're not in business.
What's your set rate?
Oh, our set rate, we're keeping it now after Michael's group, we're keeping it around a 95%.
95%.
Yeah. Yes.
What's your show rate?
Our show rate stays above a 90% at this moment. It dips a little down to an 85% every now and again. My team makes that adjustment because they monitor their set and show rate weekly. We monitor our hire rate daily. Our hire rate is, the sales goal is a daily goal for us that we look at. We also take every appointment we need to fill, and that goes to the phone team, fill these slots, because this is what we have available.
Oh, you're like, hey,
today.
This is the inventory that's open today, go fill it.
That's right. So there are certain things that we look at every single day, and I look at it all day long. They post to me every single sale they make, how much money was taken down, where was the sale, what type of sale. They post that to me every day, but it's also because it's a competitive between the sales team as well. And so they're like, oh, you got a sale, you're on fire. Let me go out. I'm going to work harder. Follow-ups are also monitored daily.
Yep. What is your hire rate?
Our hire rate right now is at 72%.
70.
What is your practice areas for everyone that doesn't know?
We do DUI and criminal defense. We also do accident cases, and we also do family-based immigration.
They must think because you're in a small town, you guys probably don't charge very much for your services.
Oh, we charge. Yes.
Yeah, we charge.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's a DUI?
DUI is $8,500.
Yeah. We're three times as much as everyone.
We have attorneys in our area that will take a DUI for $1,200.
Yes.
I don't even know where to go.
Yeah, I mean, you can drop the mic right there, and it's good.
I know where I want to go, but go ahead.
No, please, take it.
So, Danielle, it has always felt to me like you have made it seem so easy. You're so humble when we talk, and you tell me how you don't know what's going on, and I know you do. And you've always made it seem effortless. Why do you think... It's not because you're just a great student and you work hard, but why do you think it's been easier for you than it is for the attorney who's still practicing law? I mean, how many hours a week do you practice law?
I don't practice law at all.
Right. Okay. So you spend 100% of your time focused on the business. Is that correct?
I work when everything's going well, around 15, 20 hours a week.
15, 20 hours a week.
I do.
And summers...
In summers, I keep 15, 20 hours a week. That's a steady flow for me. And sometimes I'll scale back just according to what we got going, you know, what we're doing for vacations and stuff. And holidays, I do the same. There may be days that I don't really touch the office but a little bit.
Sure. But when you're going, like you're in this, maybe this springtime coming up now.
Yes.
And there's not a lot going on and Madge doesn't have a vacation or whatever. And you're not going to a horse show. And so you'll put in hours, right?
I will.
Yeah.
I get ready.
And is it fair to say in the beginning, what did it look like when you first started in here and you were first starting to get this stuff under wraps? How many hours did you have to work then to get it done?
To get it done in the beginning, we were putting in sometimes 50. My babysitter was getting 50 hours a week.
So. Okay. So you were paying your babysitter 50 hours a week.
Yeah, still bringing work home and working.
So that's a really important point that I want to make. Like, George, there was a long time when she wanted to get you out of the courtroom.
Yes.
And then you were trying to get her to stop having to work like 50 hours a week. Am I right about that?
Exactly. What I said is I want her to be as free as I am.
Yeah.
If we can get to that point, our family will be fantastic.
What I find amazing is that you guys instantly were like, yeah, we're just going to get George out of the courtroom and you're going to be able to stop practicing law.
That was our strategy.
That was your first strategy.
That was the first strategy, but we knew that we needed to do that. And I had a really good mentor that's a good friend of ours from Atlanta. And he told me, he's like, you need to hire another attorney to take George's place. And I was like, I don't think we have the money to do it. And oh my gosh, I had so much fear. I was like, what if I hire this attorney to take George's place? And then I have to fire him and let him go because I don't have my stuff together enough to be able to afford to pay him. You know, that was like my biggest fear was having to hire somebody and just let him go because I'm sorry, I can't afford you. And he's, I'm going to tell you something I want you to do. He said, hire him. I promise you, you'll work so damn hard you'll afford him. And I thought, what? That's really good advice. And I was still really apprehensive and still scared. And he told me, he said, when you remove George out of the courtroom and he's able to help you with marketing and help you with all this stuff, you are going to be able to grow at such a faster speed. Mm. And he was on point. Now, let me explain something to you. When we hired the first attorney, it was a disaster.
Disaster.
Second attorney that I hired, disaster.
Yep.
Third attorney that I hired, disaster. Fourth attorney that I hired, disaster. I do not give up because I knew. But I just want y'all to know, don't go out there and hire an attorney and think this is going to be your life. It's not. You're going to have ups and downs, and it's hard. Hiring attorneys are hard. I've already spoken to some people in here that have 10 or 15 attorneys working for them, 20 attorneys. It's hard. It's really hard, but the end result is so worth it. It really is, and you will figure it out. And each time that something goes wrong, you develop and gain skills for the next one and the next one and the next one.
I got another question.
Please.
George, I want you to talk to the attorneys out there because while it was interesting to say, let's get George out of the courtroom, you were driving 300 miles a day. You were representing these clients. It's a small town. They knew who you were. There was no question that everybody knew who you were. And now you had to be willing to go, I'm going to let somebody else do this. As an attorney who was good at your job and was dedicated to your practice, how did you feel about letting go? And how did that process look to you?
It was hard for me to do that. I had gotten to the point where basically people with unwinnable cases would come to me and say, basically, I expect you to get these charges dismissed because you're so good, that kind of thing. If you've got a client that is on the wrong side of the road, in the ditch, State Patrol pulls up behind him, he spins mud all over the State Patrolman's car and the State Patrolman, opens the door up, falls out into the ditch and pees his pants, and wants you to get it dismissed, that's where I was. Okay. That's where I was. It was.
That's great.
And if you didn't get it dismissed, they thought, what in the world? You failed, kind of thing. You saved their driver's license, but still, you failed. So it was really hard for me to hire another attorney to get them in the office to take my place in court when my name is on it. Everybody knows it's me. So I used education to educate the attorneys, to get them up to speed to where I was, almost to where I was, and they're able to go into court, represent me now effectively. I'm certainly not embarrassed by anything they do, but the trick is to get the lawyer in there to help you. If you don't have any help, you're the bottleneck. You can only take so many cases. You can only do so much. And I was doing criminal and family-based law. So I had about 500 cases I was dealing with. And I was driving, going, fighting. Every court I went to was a fight. So it was pretty rough. But now that we have three attorneys in doing the criminal for us, we've got it rolling pretty smooth.
We have an immigration attorney, too.
And the three attorneys say how busy they are.
They do.
They're so busy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I did what y'all are doing.
I did by myself.
Yeah, myself. Plus about 200 divorces.
Yeah.
So it was not a...
Well, you get to look them in the eye and go, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I've already done it. Want to talk a little bit about the staff down here?
I do. So obviously, you guys were at the Fiesta last night. You had a table full of your team, right? So would you say that leveraging global labor talent is one of the proponents that allows you to keep the profitability that you do?
Oh, yeah, because it just solved a problem for us, really. Even if it wasn't the money part of it, it solved a problem for us. Years ago, Bert asked me, what is one obstacle in your way that if we could remove it right now, you would be able to grow? And I told him, I said, oh, it's definitely staff, because we're in such a small area. Trying to find bilingual staff made it such a smaller pool to pull from. And Bert was like, I think I can help you with that. And I said, so he invited us in.
Yeah.
And then we started hiring in Mexico. Now it's the heart of my business. I mean,
how many team members
is.
Do you have in Mexico total?
I have 16 now.
And how many do you have in the U.S.?
We have about 16 in the
U.S. So about 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a difference between the two? You love them both. They both have their role, right? And so the folks in Mexico, they do phone work, but they also help with the legal process.
Listen, here's our method to this madness of the way I do things. I just hire a superstar. Mm-hmm. And when you hire a superstar, you figure out what their talent is. Mm. And putting them through the 96-hour test reveals a lot. And then training them for the phones first. During that time, that's your get-to-know period. That's where you score that person. You have a way to do this, a strategy. And then you start to see what they're good at, and that's where you place them. So I can't say that I have only my legal assistants here in the U.S. Now, I have some people that are jam-up legal assistants that are in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Phone team, collection team. I have them spread across the U.S. and Mexico. It's just, what is that person a superstar at?
Was it easy to find staff here, and it went no problems at all, super smooth? Or
no. I had nightmares about it, Bert. After Bert was like, I'm going to get you some interviews here. I think I didn't sleep for three nights. And one night, one of Bert's managers and I were on the phone till 10 o'clock at night while I was sitting at my desk. I was like, I just can't do this. He's like, yes, you can. I was like, I don't train people virtually. I don't know how. We don't even have a good training system in place for somebody face-to-face. It's me. I'm the one training everybody right now.
Did it make training better? Did you make you a better trainer
because
you had to do it virtually?
Yes, it did. It made you set up procedures and a process, and we built our McCraney University. Now it's much better than it was back then when it was just me doing it.
Nice.
And now I have a whole team that handles it.
How do you feel about the team down here, George?
I love the teams down here. They do a great job. They are hardworking people.
Yes, they are.
They're competent at their job. And like last night, I was talking to them. We talk about family issues. We talk about any questions they have. We treat them like family. And the people that we have down here, we treat just like the people we have in the U.S. And it's the same thing we've always done in the practice. I tell people, it doesn't matter who comes in the door, if it's a doctor or if it's a ditch digger. We treat them the same. Mm. They all get drinks. They all get a choice of cookies. They go through the whole nine yards. They're treated exactly the same.
Yeah, by the way, if y'all want to see the micromanaging of the client experience, Michael hasn't had the pleasure of experiencing it himself, but go down and visit the McCraneys at one of their offices. You will experience micromanaging the client experience. Everything we've talked about, from cookies and having the books out and testimonial books and the receptionist and the nurse doctor role, everything we've ever talked about in more because they've invested in additional coaching and learning how to make it better.
That's right.
It's all about going back to earlier. You guys are both great students, but being a good student is only half the equation. Implementation is the other half the equation, and you guys have done both. And so it's been really exciting to watch. I'm curious, what's got you guys fired up today? What's got you excited?
I'm ready to open more offices.
Yeah.
I'm ready to open more offices, and I'm ready to get to bigger places. figure if we can do what we're doing in such a small area, if we can get on up to maybe even Atlanta, if we can get to the Atlanta market, we'll have a lot more competition, but I think we'll do fine.
I think you'll do fine too. How about you, Danielle?
It's the workflow.
Yeah.
The workflow stuff we're doing now.
You're excited about workflow.
I hate it. I love it too because I know what it's going to do for me.
Yeah.
It's fixing to make my business so much stronger. I'm going to be running into 2024 and I'm going to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt.
So for somebody who was doing and we'll end this with this last minute statement to the world here. You started in the few hundred thousands, whatever, less than a million to the multiple millions with the profit level you have today. What's that? That person sitting out there that's listening either on the podcast or in the audience right now, that just feels stuck and they can't break through. What's your advice to them?
Start small and just pick one or two things and implement it. And that will give you the courage and the momentum to keep going faster and work harder and harder. But just start with just a few things, two or three things. Pick the fundamentals, get those in place first, and try not to get too wrapped up into deeper things until you've nailed down those basics. The basics are going to make you money, honestly. And then once you get that money, you can start investing it into other things. And listen to the advice that you're given by experts. They're experts for a reason. It's true, isn't it?
It's true.
When Rich says, hey, this works, he knows it works. He's not going to tell you something works. Don't argue with yourself about it in your own mind. Just understand that he knows what he's talking about and that might pick what you got to pick and get started on it.
Participating with y'all has changed our lives, completely changed our lives for not just us and not my work life and Danielle, but for our families.
Yeah, my team says to me all the time, what do we do about this? And now I say, what does Michael say do about this? He's not just seeing our firm and our results. He sees everybody's. He's tested so many things. So I tell him, well, ask Michael. Find out what Michael thinks about this. I know what I think about it, but he's tested it, and I haven't tested this.
Yeah.
So let's go to what's been tested.
Well, we certainly appreciate the faith you've put in us.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate that. We're honored by that. Your success is our joy. There's no question. Where do you want to go from here?
Outside of thanking you both for taking the time to be here and obviously invest in giving back to the members and to the podcast, we appreciate it. And to the law firm owners listening to this, wow, this was chock full of a ton of value. So I hope this was valuable to you. If this is not your first time listening or watching, we kindly ask that you show a little bit of love, not only to George and Danielle in the comments down below, but make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on where you're listening or watching. Hit that like button. And we appreciate you tuning in to another episode of the Your Practice Mastered podcast. George and Danielle, thank you.
A little bit of love. One, two, three.